Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Aha, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Okay, enough Maya. So, good to see everybody. So, I thought we'd just be a little interactive here. I don't know how many of you saw my class the other day on positive psychology. Did anyone see it? Okay. Yeah, one, two people. So, a little memory of that class. Just a little going over the different points. So we were talking about positive psychology. Now, most of you who are familiar with psychology, psychology definitely mainly deals with people who are challenged in different ways. In other words, they're schizophrenic, or they're psychotic, or they're borderline personalities. It's really nice. You can diagnose everybody. I'm sure Madhuri Radhika will understand this. So, but positive psychology is actually really wonderful. And it goes actually a step beyond empathic communication. Sorry about that. Or beyond nonviolent communication. So, was started by a person named Martin Seligman. Some of you may be familiar with him. Martin Seligman. Oh, Jainanda's familiar with him. That's good. I see him nodding. That's good. So just to give you the gist of it, he attributed positive psychology to a particular acronym. And that acronym is PERMA, which is really easy to remember. It's PERMA. Like permanent, like perma, like that. So anyway, so the first point, acronym means that the letters in a particular word refer to something else. Just like we have our ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, right? Which stands for the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So anyway, ISKCON, or INC, which stands for Incorporated. So everybody loves these acronyms. Just like in ISKCON, we have another one called SAC, the Shastric Advisory Committee. We have another one called the GBC, Governing Body Commission. So many acronyms. But acronyms are a good way to remember things because, you know, it's hard to remember all these different points without different hints. So this PERMA refers to five different things. It goes five different letters in the word PERMA. And the first thing it refers to is having a positive attitude. And that's what I wanted to speak about today. I'm not going to go through the other ones today, and then we're going to have you all ask questions and or answer my questions. So positive attitude means, basically, that one should always be positive about life. How is that possible? Now, right now, we're in the midst of this crisis. We're all locked up, and we can't move. We're in our houses. We can't make money. Of course, for me, that's not a problem. We're locked up in our houses. We can't make money. We can't see our family members. What else can't we do? We can't go to the movies anymore. Of course, I don't go to the movies. We use Netflix. But anyway, so we can go to the movies on the internet. So we can't. Anyway, sorry about the humor. Humor is actually a very important point for keeping us positive all the time. So in other words, there's all these can'ts, and our independence or autonomy is being threatened in this particular circumstance. So what do we do? you know, how do we avoid getting an anxiety, angry, bitter, or any other nice symptoms that may occur? And not only this virus, you know, this is just like a tip of the iceberg in the material world, the virus. There's a lot more coming, I hate to tell you. As we say, you ain't seen nothing yet. What does that mean? Ain't means haven't in colloquial English. So you're going to see a lot more heavy stuff in this material world. A lot more heavy stuff. I mean, for example, before this virus, I was just like looking at the news because I was very depressed seeing Donald Trump every day on the news. So and I thought, it can't get worse than this. And then the virus comes and it gets worse. So as I was mentioning in our class the other day, there's a lot more heavy things that could occur. For example, if you have an electromagnetic pulse from the sun, all your electronics are going to get fried. You're not going to be able to go on the internet. You're not going to be able to drive a car. None of your, let's say, electrical things in your house are going to work. Your refrigerator won't work. The trucks won't work to deliver vegetables to you. So that's a pretty heavy thing. Could happen. It actually happened in the 1900s that there was an electromagnetic pulse. And that pulse affected not the electronics, because there wasn't any electronics at that particular point, but it affected the telegraph system in the United States. And when that occurred, that comes from the sun, the electromagnetic pulse. So when that occurred, it fried all the telegraph stations. They all got on fire. And that was in the 1900s. Could happen again. Or there could be a major eruption. Scientists are predicting that the Yellowstone Park in the United States, which has this big volcano, could erupt, and you're thinking it's just in the United States. No, it'll affect the whole world. You will be in winter for the next few years if that happens. That means no vegetables. And I don't know what you're going to eat. So there's a lot of things. The material world is, you know, padam, padam, yad, vi, padam, natesham. There's danger at every step. And when you least expect it, things will happen. I mean, what to speak? I mean, you're talking about the virus. Okay, so here in the United States, another point, is that we've had some 26,000 people die from the virus. In the same time, we've had 300,000 people die from heart disease. We've had, it's roughly the same number die from cancer, a little less than from cancer, and from other means. So guess what? The material world is a rolling disaster. Sounds like a Sunday feast lecture given at a Hare Krishna temple. I haven't given a lecture like this in 10 years. So anyway, usually a Sunday feast lecture nowadays, it's like peace and love. We love you all. You're all wonderful. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So... So anyway, so the point is, how does one remain positive in these circumstances? That's the real point. As you see, I'm pretty positive about everything. It's not that I like negativity, and negativity makes me positive. You know, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. But the point is, it's Krishna. Like Prabhupada said when he was hearing the bombs falling on Calcutta during World War II, Prabhupada saw Krishna. And the interesting thing is that when the bombs were falling in Calcutta, Prabhupada kept eating his prasadam. He didn't even take shelter in the bomb shelter. But he kept taking his prasadam. Now, that I'm not suggesting that. You keep taking your prasadam when the bombs are falling. Not a good idea. However, the whole point is to see Krishna in everything and everywhere, as we find in the Gita in the sixth chapter, Yomam Pashati Sarvatra Sarvam Chamayi Pashati Tachaham Na Pranashami Sachame Na Pranashati. Okay, so Krishna is everywhere. Krishna is doing it. Of course, it's, you know, you could say there's material causes too. Yes, that's for sure. People are eating meat, and the viruses are jumping They're called zoonotic viruses. Zoonotic viruses means viruses that are jumping from animals that are being taken care of in confined quarters. Therefore, more diseases are developing. They're jumping to human beings. Yes, it's a material cause. That's true. And that is actually a fact. However, I don't have control over those material causes. And they're happening. So what do I do about it? I mean, first of all, yes, it's a good idea to observe social distancing, wear a mask if you're going outside. Good idea. Good idea to wear a mask. Whoops, my background is shifting. I don't want to lose my... Okay. It's a good idea to wear a mask and good idea to observe social distancing. Good idea to take a lot of vitamins. Good idea to get some vitamin D, get some sunshine. Yes, these are true. These are real. It's true. But at the same time, there are certain things we don't have control over, and that's Krishna. We have to see that as Krishna. And so because we don't have control over it, of course, it's not that I get ecstatic with everything that Krishna does. You know, there's a lot of things he does I don't like, but but we see Krishna everywhere, and we understand why is Krishna doing this, or we try to understand, or ascertain, or guess, like, why is Krishna doing this to me? I know why Krishna's doing it to society. That's an easy thing. You know, he's teaching them certain lessons, simple living, high thinking, you know, or don't eat meat anymore. Because very few people are going to learn the lesson. And the interesting thing about stubborn human beings is that they don't learn lessons, even if you slap them in the face or spank them or something like that. For example, I know one instance where a man had throat cancer from smoking cigarettes. And you think, you know, okay, smoking cigarettes caused my cancer and throat cancer. So what should I do about it? Obviously, stop smoking. But what happened is after he had his tracheotomy, you know, they cut a hole in his throat so he could breathe, he smoked cigarettes through the hole in the throat. So people don't learn. They're stubborn. Punak punas charvi to charvananam. That's a statement of Balad Maharaj. Again and again, chewing the chew, doing the same thing. People tend to be stupid. So, as far as this whole thing changing society, I have my doubts about it. But as far as what we as individuals should do, respond, or think about it, that we can actually, we can make some changes in our lives based on that. And so, what is Krishna teaching us? Well, perhaps he's teaching us to take shelter of his holy names. Perhaps he's teaching us that the Bhagavad Gita is real, Dukalyam Ashashvatam. Perhaps he's teaching us to appreciate the association of devotees. You know, there's many different things that Krishna could be teaching us. So now, because I said this would be interactive, I want to get some responses from some of you as to what you think Krishna is teaching us by this particular virus pandemic. Does anyone want to volunteer? You've got to take yourself off mute if you're going to do that. Just do it. You don't have that too many people here. So, volunteers? Okay. Speak.
Hi, Paul. You hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Krishna is trying to teach me to be more flexible because everything goes in a different way and I cannot just stop doing things, so I have to become flexible.
In other words, let me translate that, you're not the supreme controller.
That's the thing.
You can't always have your way. I mean, that translating that into some philosophical language. That's a lesson that I learned when I was stuck in Fiji and I couldn't get out in spite of using all my God-given intelligence, that I just thought, you know, how come I can't have my way? I could always figure things out before this. And now, somehow or other, I can't figure my way out of this. And so, taught me, you just got to surrender, be flexible, and deal with the situation that Krishna's given you. And as they say, if Krishna gives you a lemon, you make lemonade out of it. A lemon means something sour. In English, that's it's one of the common sayings. All right, that's very good. You're not the supreme controller. I mean, you have to be flexible. Deal with whatever situation you're in. And you're in a nice situation. You have a nice Krishna conscious family. You're situated there in the country where you can walk. It's nice, isn't it? You can still grow your vegetables. You
Yeah,
better
of
grow
course.
your vegetables now. Because you
Yeah.
may not be anything else to eat for a while. That's another thing. People now are talking about food security. I'm sure you've heard about this discussion before, having some food security, food stored up. And we have one farm community that I'm in charge of in the southern part of the United States. And they were asking me, how can we survive? We don't have much money to buy groceries. And they have 2,000 acres of land. It's in the south of the United States, good climate, a lot of rain. And I said, have you ever heard about growing vegetables? I gave them a challenge. I said, in 2 months, I want to hear that you're not buying vegetables anymore, that you're actually growing it. 2,000 acres. Something like 25 devotees, and they can't figure out how to grow vegetables. So,
2,000 acres is about 10,000 square meters, kilometers, something like that, no?
no, it's a lot more than that. 2,000 acres is, you know what hectares are?
Yep.
In Europe, you use hectares. It's about 800 hectares.
Okay. That's a lot.
That's enough land to get lost on.
Yeah, of course.
Go for a walk and you won't find your way back. Yeah, Jayananda.
I have a suggestion to the devotees over there. They should employ Astasaki to take over their farm and show them.
And me too.
No, I gave them a challenge. I said, no more buying vegetables in 2 months from now. That gives you enough time to grow things. It's a few simple things, greens, because it's the spring right now. And let's see if they meet that challenge. I mean, sometimes when we're put with our back against the wall, we'll figure out how to do things. You know, what do they say? Necessity is the mother of invention. And when everything is coming easy, people are living in the cities. And everything is coming very easy. You just go to the grocery store and you buy things. You know, it's why go to the trouble? Why go to the trouble? I mean, like for example, here in Nugaloka, we grow not vegetables, but we grow flowers during the summer. But the problem is we can't find devotees to pick the flowers, so instead they're spending thousands of dollars to buy the flowers for the deities. It's pretty funny. So when there's always an easy way out, people will take it. That's the nature of the human being. So Krishna's put us in a situation where we don't have such easy ways out. Maybe not in the future. So, all right, who else has an interesting idea of why Krishna's put us in this particular situation?
Teach us responsibility.
To teach us responsibility for our lives. That's very good.
Yes, to look inside yourself and trust Krishna, what Krishna teach you till now, and do the best in this situation. Trust him.
Yes, to learn how to
That's it.
trust and depend on Krishna.
Yeah,
Very
of
good.
course. And do the best in this situation, not only for me and but for all my family and for all my people I know. Of course, I do not have social contacts now, but
Okay.
so I pray for them and for all people. And so now we are in the same mess. So we have to find our inner strength.
Yes. Very good. Very, very good. Yeah, being concerned with others, praying for others, and also developing, being appreciative of others' association and developing close relationships with others. One of the things I mentioned the other day was that we are finding ourselves, not me, of course, I'm just by myself in social isolation, but we are finding ourselves, I don't want to use the word trapped, but cooped up, whatever other word you want, with the same person or the same persons, and we have to develop close relationships. I mean, like husband and wife, for example, you know, it's easy. You go out, you do your own way. The husband works or the wife works or the wife gets away. But then you're stuck in the same house for 2-3 weeks or 2 months, and you have to learn how to appreciate each other or kill each other, one of the two.
Positive psychology.
Yeah. Yeah, so you really have to – I'm appreciating devotees more more than any more than before. I'm actually having a good time. Not because I'm alone, but maybe that's because I'm alone. But anyway, I'm having a good time and relating with people more than before and talking more on the internet with people with these video calls. So it's a positive thing. The point is about negativity. The more you think negatively about something that's happening, the more miserable you become. Isn't it? And it doesn't solve it. It doesn't solve the problem. Thinking, oh, you know, the depression, woe is me. Oh, this is the worst thing that ever happened. What's going to happen? Anxiety, what's going to happen in the future if I don't have enough money to pay the bills? You know, it's just like, it doesn't make it better. Now, if you want to make things better, then you got to see why Krishna is doing it and understand Krishna is taking care of you. You know, Krishna takes care, maintains his devotees. He protects his devotees, two surrendering practices or principles. And it's a fact. And even in difficulty, Krishna is taking care of you. I mean, you have this typical verse that Prabhupada was very fond of quoting. Yashaham anagrinami harishe tadanam shanai. For those who I especially favor, I take away everything. So even when Krishna takes away everything, that's a special mercy. Because then what do? You just chant Hare Krishna. I mean, everything, the full verse is that your friends and relatives reject you, which hasn't happened yet. And then you just take shelter of Krishna's names. Right? Nobody
else.
Verse, Jeev Jago, Gorachandra, Gopole, Kota Nidra, Yao Maya, Pisachira, Kole. That Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that, you know, the holy names are our friend in this world. I don't see anyone agreeing with that. Anyway, I agree. Everybody else. The funny thing is I can see you all, and I can see who's attentive and who's not. This is great. This is better than a normal Bhagavatam class. In a normal Bhagavatam class, you're all sitting in the back of the room falling asleep. And now I can see all of your faces, you know, how attentive you are, everything. I love it.
Who's going to get D?
So, who else has a point of how we can be positive in a circumstance like this?
Maybe I?
Yeah. Speak up, because it's hard to hear. You're really low.
Yeah, to think that how the Maya is tough when we think that we are this body.
Yes. You actually understand the toughness of the mind. Chanchala hi manaha krishna pramati balavadridam tashaham nigraham manye vayor iva shidushkaram. Yes, the mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate, and very strong, and more difficult to control than the wind, as Krishna says in the Gita. I mean, you can actually see the whole Bhagavad Gita coming to life in these difficult circumstances. So, who else has a point?
Always look on the bright
side.
Alita Sundari raised her hand. Oh, she learned how to raise her hand. You have something to say? Yeah, why don't you say something?
Okay.
You got to speak more clearly. It's very hard to hear you.
Can you
hear me? Ooh, yeah. Very unclear. Yeah, it's better you use a microphone. All right. She went offline for a second. Who?
Is this better or not?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, I would share the one that's the most personal for me, because I was always afraid of being away from the temple because I was so dependent on the temple program and I'm alone here. But now I can see that, I mean, it took me a lot, I mean, quite few weeks, now it's 5th week already, to actually to have a nice program alone here so I can chant nicely and everything and read. And now I see that it's not a problem if you're alone, you can also do it alone. I mean, of course, I do. I do have the program on. Whatever I do, also when I chant, I'm never in alone. Actually, I always have programs on. But still, this was one of my biggest fears. So now I'm happy that I got this opportunity to see this. That actually, it's very nice if you read and chant and so on. Then you can have a very nice day. It doesn't matter if you're alone or if you don't have anything else to do or something like that.
That's very good. That's very good. Actually, Prabhupada also said that the ultimate test will happen at the time, of course, time of death, and then you're all alone. He said previously, during life, previously during life, it's like flying dual in an airplane. I don't know if any of you know what that means. When I was young, I used to fly an airplane with my father, and we do dual. In other words, he'd be there and I'd be there. But sometimes you're alone, you're flying solo, and we have to understand how to fly solo and be dependent and take shelter of Krishna in all circumstances, whether or not other people are around. Of course, we do appreciate other people. I mean, I like having other people around. But still, we have to learn how to be Krishna conscious. And that will make us stronger. I think those of us who are taking advantage in that way will actually become stronger in Krishna consciousness. In each and every circumstance, we can go to anywhere and remain Krishna conscious. So, anybody else have any ideas of why Krishna is doing this?
I have one idea.
Okay.
To me, it seems that Krishna is still indicating now that we really have to prepare to really start sharing Krishna consciousness.
Good.
Because now the time is coming when people will be very, very open on a mass scale.
That's true. I mean, that's one thing I've experienced too, because people are at home. I mean, I don't think in the middle of the week I could get so many people on the internet like this with me simultaneously, because people are home, and basically many people are bored, many people are in anxiety, many people are looking for some meaning, and now's the time to reach out. I mean, I've actually had more interactions with people during this virus period than I've had practically any other time. I mean, I'm really enjoying it. I've set up my whole house here like a studio, as you see, so that I can interact with people. I'll show you. I'll turn the camera around for a second. I'll show you some of my equipment that I have. I have like a big screen TV, special lights.
Wow.
Just so... You know, because I'm spending most of my day interacting with people. I'm in ecstasy. It's great. And also, I'm walking outside, getting more sunshine. As you see, I'm my complexion is pretty dark because I'm getting a lot of sunshine now. So this is life. So in other words, you can enjoy in each and every circumstance and be happy by taking advantage of the positive aspects of each and every circumstance that Krishna has given you. It's Krishna. Krishna, don't blame the virus. I mean, you shouldn't even get angry at the virus. This poor virus is just trying to survive. Think about it. It's just like any other living entity. Why should you get angry with it? It's just doing its thing. Right? I mean, not that we want it to do its thing. But you know, it's just like an animal. It survives. It's a jiva, you know, or many jiva souls, or billions of jiva souls, or whatever it is. I mean, I'm just empathic with the virus. Empathic communication with the virus. These rascal human beings are trying to stop it. No, not really. Sorry. No, I mean, that's the law of the jungle. The mature world's a jungle. The law is jivasa jiva sajivanam. One living entity exists by eating another living entity or taking, you know, that's life. Last night we were giving a class on the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the first or second verse of the 16th chapter, the divine and demoniac natures. And we were talking about compassion or nonviolence, actually nonviolence. And this material world is a world where there has to be some aspect of violence towards other living entities in order to exist. You can't get away from it. One living entity, jivasya, jivasya, jivanam. One living entity eats another living entity. But my point was you should minimize the violence. Hey, Kamala, good to see you. I wish you could cook for me, but you can't virtually cook. So while one living entity exists by eating another living entity, so that's violence. We walk on the grass. It's violence, right? Am I right or wrong? Yeah, it's right. Anyway, none of you can speak because you're all on mute. So the whole idea is to minimize the violence towards other living entities. I mean, that's why we're vegetarians. And that's why, because I said something last night that wasn't so politically correct. That's why I'm basically a vegan, because I don't want to be cows to be. I don't want cows to be tortured, so that I can enjoy drinking milk. You know, there's a minimization of violence, nonviolence. You know, read the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the first few verses. You'll understand what I'm talking about. So anyway, yeah, we learn these things, compassion towards other living entities, even a virus. These are different lessons. So anyone else have any lessons that we can learn from the circumstance that we find ourselves in now? Yes, Madhuri Radhika, you got to take yourself off mute.
All right. Being kind and being patient.
Yes.
I discovered about myself, thanks to this situation, how impatient and what is the word? And yeah, my mind is that really like a monkey jumping from one place to another one. And now it's really possible to see it so clearly.
That's actually something that I learned too. Thank you for sharing that. Maybe you can put yourself on mute again, because I'm getting some feedback from me. Okay. Everybody put yourself on mute unless you're talking, because I'm getting feedback. So, being patient, because we can't control things anymore. We can't have what we want when we want. And it's just like, got to go with Krishna's time frame. And that's really... It's actually slowed me down, and that's hard to believe that I'm slowed down, because even now you hear me speaking very fast. It's actually taught me, as it's taught you and has taught most of us, just is slow down and think about life, be a little introspective, you know, what's important, you know, right priorities, like that. Actually, there's an interesting song from the 1960s. It goes, slow down, you move too fast, got to make the moment last. Anyone's heard that song? No. Anyway. No, too bad. I'll have to remember it for next time I can sing it. So, yeah, patience. Can't have what you want. Can't. And there's another song from the 1960s. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. And you can, sometimes you just have to wait.
The birds.
What's that?
The birds.
The birds. The,
yeah. No?
I don't know. I mean, I... You're the expert, not me.
You lived at that time, at that period.
I know. And what about you can't always get what you want? Where's that song come from? Anyway, if you remember, let me know. Send me a message.
Okay.
Yeah, so patience. And then what does patience make you do? It makes you introspective. You know, just thinking, you know, what's life all about? You know, I'm rushing around doing this, wanting that. And what's important in life? You know, you really try to think about what's really important. And, you know, things that are important are like relationships with other living entities, relationship with Krishna. I mean, I could say this has really helped me spiritually tremendously, this whole thing. I mean, those of you who weren't watching the other day, one of the things that I learned, not only learned, but, you know, Krishna just made me more Krishna conscious somehow or other, is that I actually lost my taste for Star Wars movies, which is probably my final Maya in this material world. You know, just like, always like, remember the Force, like that. And so Now, actually, I don't have any taste for any of these mundane movies anymore. Somehow or other, disappeared through this whole circumstance. Hopefully, it stays away. And I'm just here, hearing and chanting and talking to devotees. And there's no desire for anything else. I mean, it's really amazing. And this, I attribute that to this circumstance. Why? Because I was reminded of the dangers of this material world. Because the nature, according to Yudhisthira Maharaj's discussion with Yamaraj, the nature of our consciousness is ahani hani bhutani gachanti yamalayam, that we see everyone else get sick, everyone else die, and we think, what? Not me, I'm young. You know, even though I'm in an old body, you know, the thing is, being in an old body, for those of you who are not in old bodies, every time you look in a mirror, you have a heart attack. You think, oh my God, what happened? For those of you who are young, you know, look in the mirror and say, oh no, mirror, mirror on the wall. You know, who's the prettiest or handsomest or best yogi of them all? So, but when you're my age, you feel young. You actually, I mean, I can tell you that. Prabhupada said the same thing. You actually feel, I mean, emotionally the same way, at least I do, emotionally the same way you did when you were 20 years old. And you just think, you know, everybody else is getting old. Everybody else is dying. Not me. That's what that verse says. Ahani, hani, bhutani, gachanti, yamalayam. That the most wonderful thing in this world is everyone else is dying, and you're thinking, not me. You read about it in the news, not me. So for me, it was like a wake-up call, especially as I was coming back to America from Fiji, you know, 30 hours of flying with people coughing on the plane, wearing masks, and, you know, just saying, oh, my God, am I ready to go? And I thought, I am not ready to go. No, not me, Krishna. I have so many, like Prabhupada talked about, I have so many plans in life. What about this? What about that? So many things to do. But it just made me more serious about Krishna consciousness. You know, now every moment is valuable. That's another lesson. Every moment is extremely valuable. Wow. Anyone else have any ideas or things you could learn from this? Chincharati, you can't always get what you want. That's Rolling Stones. Thank you. Okay. I'll have to learn that song on my guitar for next time. You can't always get what you want. So, all right. Another question? I mean, another thing we can learn?
Yes.
Jainanda.
In professional life, the normal setting of teaching yoga just disappeared. Mm. So I have to learn to do it online. So, it means like entering a phase of training, self-education, and reinventing the whole thing. So it's challenging, but it's anything but boring. That's so good. I think I have an experience which is quite different from what most people are reporting, because much more stressful now than.
Yeah, because financially you have to learn how to make a living online.
Yeah.
So, but it's challenging. What is Gokul Chandra doing?
Oh, he's teaching online.
He's doing that. Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, Gokul Chandra is the greatest yogi on the planet. He knows more postures than all the yogis in the Himalayas put together. No. he's a Mahayogi. And I taught him everything he knows. Anyway, so, not really. That's not true. So, so he's all right. He's doing it online right now, right, Jayananda?
Yeah.
All right. So, we have to reinvent ourselves. Like I can't travel. I got to do everything online here too. And it is a challenge. It is a challenge. I mean, how to teach yoga online? Yeah, it's very difficult. You can be a personal trainer, personal yoga trainer online. Mm. But it keeps you from being bored. It's a challenge. I think challenges are good. Like sometimes people say, well, anxiety is not good. I say anxiety is good. Because without anxiety, what do we do in life? Without, like, you know, your anxiety, anything could end, you know, financial anxiety, death anxiety, the virus anxiety. It impels you to action. I mean, for some people, it actually makes them, you know, just like depressed or whatever. But a little anxiety actually is healthy. It's really healthy. I mean, because then we get to work. I mean, I'm finding it's very helpful for my spiritual life to be in anxiety. I mean, I'm stuck here. I'm stuck here, you know, by myself. I can't I can't have devotees over. I'm right at the temple where my house is. My house is right next to the temple, and I can't go to the temple.
Oh.
I can't go to the temple. Well, for two reasons. One reason is, you know, I came back from Fiji. I'm 14 days lockdown. Second reason is I did get a little bit of the virus, and now I'm recovering from it. So now I'm going to have to another 14 days on top of that. So life is like that. So I mean, minimal. I mean, you don't have to worry. I got minimal effects of the virus because I was building up my immune system. And a little sore throat, no fever, little headache, exhaustion, and that's about it. But, you know, just... So I'm not going to be able to go to the temple for at least another 2 weeks. And the temple is right there, like 100 meters away. For those of you who have been here, you know it's very close. And so here I am. And so I'm reinventing my life, too. And having a good time. Yeah, it's a good time. Because if you... if you see Krishna everywhere and see Krishna in everything, then you'll actually be happy in all circumstances. And you use your brain positively. Krishna wants us, not only do we see Krishna, but then we see what does Krishna want me to do about the circumstance. And then you're happy. You're always with Krishna. Try to understand, you're always with Krishna. 24 hours a day, you're with Krishna. He's your best friend. Bhoktaram jagatapasam suridam sarvabhutanam. He's your well-wishing friend. He's in your heart, you know. This is actually a test of our faith, too. Krishna's right there. Of course, you can't see my heart. I could be like Hanuman, just open up my chest and you see Krishna. That would be interesting. I'll do that electronically in some future talk. Where I could go like that, see Radha and Krishna in my heart. Actually, I could do that. Have like a little blue screen there or something, a green screen. And then you see Radha and Krishna. But, you know, Krishna is in your heart. Excuse me. And he's your best friend. He's your well-wisher. It's nice, isn't it? So be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry. I'm sure some of you heard the song that I had another disciple, Mahamantra, sing, Don't Worry, Be Happy. Some of you heard that song. It's really, it's a funny song. It says, you know, anyway, I forgot the words from it, but, you know, got some troubles, don't worry, be happy, chant Hare Krishna. I'll have to play it for you. I can't play it on this computer. So, any other questions? I have to end now. I have some other things that I have to run to. Any questions anyone has before we end? Oh, Lita Sundari raised her hand again. All right, what's up? Take yourself off mute. She wasn't able to take herself off mute or the internet. Take yourself off mute. I can't hear you when your computer's on
can
mute.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I have a question. How does this go together, like beg for mercy and be grateful? So, like, be grateful for what we have, but still be aware that where we are and pray, but at the same time, be grateful. So...
Well, being grateful means you count your blessings. You know, you go through a whole list. You know, what am I grateful for? First of all, I'm grateful that I have been given the highest knowledge by Srila Prabhupada. I've given the Association of Devotees. I've been given the holy names. I've been given prasadam. I've had such an amazing life serving Krishna. No, as far as I'm concerned, such an amazing life serving Krishna. I have a goal. I have a, well, this is also part of PERMA, that I have a meaning to life. I didn't go through the ERMA yet. But I have a meaning to life. You know, before that, my life was no meaning. So you just go through what you can be grateful for. And what do you pray for? that depends on who you are, what's important for you. You pray for things that are important for you spiritually, hopefully. You may pray that you can help other people become Krishna conscious. You may pray for the welfare of someone you love. You may pray for your own Krishna consciousness. You may pray for the world. And there's a lot of excuse me. There's a lot of things you can pray for. So that's up to you. But it should be positive, positive praying, you know. Not that you pray, boy, I hope he dies. No, that's not a proper prayer. Hope he gets punished by Krishna. I hope Donald Trump gets the coronavirus. No, don't pray like that. No, don't. Excuse me. Don't pray like that, but you pray for something positive, what's important for you. I mean, everybody has, I can't tell you what to pray for because you have things that are important to your heart. And you pray for those and depend on Krishna and ultimately pray to be connected to Krishna. I mean, one who sees Krishna and sees Krishna everywhere is never lost to Krishna, nor is Krishna ever lost to him. That's 6:30 in the Bhagavad Gita. I mean, when you're connected to Krishna, like you see Prabhupada was always happy in every circumstance. We were going over that same verse I mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, the 16th chapter, and I was explaining how all these divine qualities that are listed in the 16th chapter of the Gita were fully manifest in Prabhupada. I mean, it's an amazing verse. It's an amazing verse. The beginning of the 16th chapter, the first three verses of the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And you can go through each verse and make a whole class on that verse. I mean, each point, and do a whole class on each point, each saintly quality. Okay? I have to end. Oh, just one more. Prema has a question. Yes, Prema.
Yes. I have one question regarding what you mentioned, that things may get more difficult soon. So it would be good whoever has some land to grow their own vegetables. So my question is, for those who are living in the city, and especially for those who are living in the city because of trying to share Krishna consciousness, is for them, should they also think like that? To try to relocate themselves somewhere?
No, you know? No, that wasn't my lesson. My point was to depend on Krishna. If one's in the country, yes, it's a good idea. Take advantage of what Krishna has given you. And it's also good to have some food security. I mean, just as a practical thing, like some dried goods in your house in case, you know, things do happen. That's not a bad idea. But those of us, I mean, I'm not planning to move to the country. I'm planning to just continue preaching wherever Krishna wants me to be. But just take precautions. But if you're living in the country and Prabhupada wanted, you know, farms, like here, you know, for example, there's devotees from Sweden with us right now who are living on a very nice piece of property, right? And, you know, I think all the devotees should start thinking about growing vegetables if you're there, right? Not just Astasaki. I think everyone should get into it. Astasaki can be example for other people or a teacher for other people. If you're in the country, do that. If you're in the city, you do other things. You preach. You know, wherever you are, don't leave where you are. Don't leave. But everyone who knows a little bit about Krishna consciousness can go on the internet and reach out to others, like I'm doing. I mean, you all have the availability of the internet. And whatever your skills are, I mean, if you can teach nonviolent communication, use that to bring people to Krishna consciousness. If you can teach about agriculture, use that to bring people to Krishna consciousness. If you can teach about kirtan, if you can teach about, like, Kamala, she's a cook. If you can teach people how to cook, use that to bring people to Krishna consciousness. Or you teach, like, Somi Rupa, she does deity worship. Talk about the deities to people. on the internet. And so we have devotees with different skills. Utilize your situation. But if you're on a farm, it is a good idea to grow vegetables. I mean, from what I know, that's what farms are meant for, isn't it? I mean, maybe I'm outdated or something. You know, it's just like devotees, sometimes devotees have this concept of moving to the country, and it's just like, oh, it's like a subdivision. Like, they want to live comfortably in the country. I was joking with someone yesterday. We have a property across the street from the temple that's about 7 acres of land where we were going to build a big temple. I don't know what's going to happen now. So I go there and do my walk every day. So I said to the devotees, oh, now that we have all this land there, instead of doing agriculture, maybe I should put in a golf course so I can actually play golf every day while I'm in seclusion. So in other words, devotees go to the country, like there you are in Sweden, to go to the country to live a comfortable life. I'm not saying you did that. But the whole purpose of being in the country is to be a farmer, right? As far as I know. I mean, why else live in the country? The whole purpose of being in the city is, you know, either economic development or preaching or something like that. But it's not simply to live a comfortable life. The whole purpose of our lives is to actually reach out to other people and help people become Krishna conscious in whatever way that we can. And I think most of you, everyone here has the internet, right? Am I wrong, right? Yes, you must be having the internet because I'm seeing you all on the internet. So take advantage. Reach out to people. I mean, I'm spending practically my whole day that I'm not walking outside and getting or chanting my japa, spending my whole day reaching out to people. It's ecstatic. Like, you know, Astasaki can speak about the Bhagavatam on the internet to people. Right? Or show how to grow vegetables. Here's a seed. You put the seed in the ground, and you put a little water on it. I mean, I'll tell you a funny story. Because people, you know, we get so lazy nowadays. Once upon a time, I was in Fiji. This was several years ago. On one of these small islands. And what happened was the plane was delayed by about 4 hours. And it was breakfast time. And it was Sunday. So I said to the devotees, where's breakfast? And the devotee said, well, I'm sorry. We thought you were going to fly away and have breakfast where you were going. And they said, today is Sunday. All the grocery stores are closed. I'm sorry, we can't find anything. And so then I pointed out, this is tropical, remember that. So I pointed out to a papaya tree, and I said, what grows on that tree? And they said, papayas. And I said, get it. And they got me a papaya. And I said, what? They pointed out to a banana tree. What grows on that tree? Bananas. Get me a banana. What grows on that tree? Nuts. Get me some nuts. And so by the time we were finished, I had a whole feast. But the devotees never thought about it. This is tropical. They don't have to plant things. Everything grows naturally. And the devotees never thought about it. I mean, it's incredible. So we are accustomed in the modern world to a very lazy life. You go to the grocery store, you buy everything that's washed and nice and everything like that. And nowadays, of course, people like even prepared foods. They go to the grocery store and they buy pre-prepared foods. And they just put the foods into a microwave. I'm sure you have microwaves in Europe, right? And they just, we call that nuking it. You nuke your food, you know, nuclear energy in your food. So learn. I mean, we can learn how to deal with the situation. So wherever you are, take advantage. You're in the city, you know, like you're in Ljubljana, take advantage of it. Reach out to people. There's a whole world of people waiting to hear about Krishna. And if you're a yogi, teach yoga. You know, Jayananda can teach yoga to a whole world of people. Learn how to do it. You know, I'm Of course, I knew how to use the internet before, but I'm learning about different technologies such as this Zoom. And, you know, I've outfitted myself with special microphones and everything like that, so the sound quality is much better than what you normally get. So, you know, learn. Take advantage. It's great. This is great. I'm having the best time of my life. Okay. I got to end now because I got other things happening. Oh, okay. One thing. Asasaki, you have a question. I take yourself off mute if you're going to do that.
Gurudev, when do you think that we can have a next this kind of Zoom meeting?
Probably next 2 or 3 days. Let's figure out my schedule. Also, right now, because I'm having to rest a little bit more than normal, just to recover from everything. So I'm just taking it day by day. But I think in the next few days we can have it. I mean, tomorrow, every day I have something scheduled. I don't want to overburden myself right now. I have to be careful. But I have something else scheduled this same time tomorrow with some newer devotees in Europe, you know, people just joining the movement. So there's special groups. I'm trying to limit the people I do at one time on Zoom because that way I can interact more. I mean, the other night I had like 70 people on Zoom, and it gets a little bit too much. So I'm doing it's not too much for me, but it's just I can't interact with everybody like I'm doing now. You know, I got one screen. I can see everybody on one screen. But sometimes you get these things like 3 or 4 screens of people, and I can't see whether people are sleeping or not. So, I mean, it's kind of funny. Sometimes I'm giving a class, and people are eating, and I can see them eating. And it's just like, oh, my God. Attentive Krishna consciousness. It's kind of interesting. So in other words, I'm doing these things with different limited groups. That's what I found to be most effective, rather than doing it with, like, you know, 1,000 people at the same time. Okay, I just got a message on my phone from someone that my attention is needed elsewhere. Anyway, we'll get together and I'll let Prema let everybody know. She's a good person to put on my Facebook page. Just keep watching the Facebook page. There'll be notifications.
Get well soon.
What's that?
Get well soon.
Everything's completely better except for, you know, just some exhaustion right now. And if I don't watch it and rest extra, then, you know, things can come back. But as you see, I am pretty lively.
Bless you.
Okay, see everybody later. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai Gurudev.